If you would, open up your Bibles to Luke chapter 8, and we are going to be going through verses 4 through 15. Luke 8, 4 through 15. This is the parable of the sower. When a large crowd was come together, and those from the various cities were journeying to him, he spoke by way of a parable. The sower went out to sow his seed. And as he sowed, some fell beside the road, and it was trampled underfoot, and the birds of the air ate it up. Other seed fell on rocky soil, and as soon as it grew up, it withered away, because it had no moisture. Other seed fell among the thorns, and the thorns grew up with it and choked it out. Other seed fell into the good soil and grew up and produced a crop 100 times as great. And as he said these things, he would call out, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." His disciples began questioning him as to what this parable meant. And he said, "To you it has been granted to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God. But to the rest, it's in parables, so that seeing they may not see, and hearing they may not understand. Now the parable is this: the seed is the word of God. Those beside the road are those who have heard, and then the devil comes and takes away the word from their heart, so that they will not believe and be saved. Those on the rocky soil are those who, when they hear, receive the word with joy. And these have no firm root. They believe for a while, and in time of temptation, fall away. The seed which fell among the thorns, these are the ones who have heard. And as they go on their way, they're choked with worries and riches and pleasures of this life, and bring no fruit to maturity. But the seed in the good soil, these are the ones who've heard the word in an honest and good heart, and hold it fast and bear fruit with perseverance. This is the word of the Lord. Father, would you give us understanding this morning? Would you send your Holy Spirit to reveal in each person here this morning a truth? Father, I just pray that these words that your Son spoke take root into our hearts, that they just grow. Help us to hear what Jesus has to say. Help open our eyes. Help open our ears to the things that you have before us. I pray that the words I speak are the words that you would have me speak. Only the things that would bring us closer. Only the things that please you, Lord God. Take control of this service, Holy Spirit. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. All right. Ladies, you may be seated. Gentlemen, you may be seated. So, all right. You guys know what we get to do today? You're just going to write what I was going to say, I bet you, right? You know how great this is? We get to sit here. We get to come together. And we get to read about and hear Jesus telling a story. And then he's going to explain the story to us. Like, the creator of the universe is just going to share with us. And we get to come together as a group of believers, and we get to just hang out and listen to this and just take away what he has for us. It's awesome. It's a great privilege. Right? I mean, it's something to be excited about. Like, yeah. I mean, does it get any better? Does it get any better?
No.
Really? Look at the block of red letters that we get to see today. I mean, it's great. So let's just jump right in. Verse 4. When a large crowd was coming together, and those from various cities were journeying with him, he spoke by way of a parable. So, the thing about Luke's writing style is that Luke just loves to link all these things together, if you haven't noticed. You will get a story or an event, and then oftentimes the next story or event or discussion is linked to the previous one or the next one coming. You know, and he always ties these events either to another event or to a specific truth or to a specific point that he wants to make to help illustrate what's being said, what's going on here. And so it really becomes this game of connecting the dots. And for me, it's difficult because that means that I have to decide, where do we stop? Where do we start? How much time are we going to spend on this? Because really, we could just keep going. And so then it's okay, do you guys remember what happened last Sunday? And it's always this progression, okay? So it makes for a very intricate narrative, a very interesting way to read through the life of Jesus. And so if you do remember from last Sunday, we have Jesus, and he's gathering this group of dedicated followers, right? And they are getting ready to go on his second main, you would call it, missionary trip across the region, right? It's an evangelistic mission that they're going on. So timely, so timely. And so as they're getting ready to go on this trip where Jesus is going to be preaching and proclaiming the kingdom of God, Jesus is going to address the crowd, all right? So in the book of Matthew and in Mark, we're told that Jesus is going to address this crowd that has come from various cities, and he's going to do it in a way that we've seen him do before, which is that he goes down to the Sea of Galilee, and he grabs a boat, and he just pushes off ashore a little bit. And from that boat, he's going to use the sea, and then he's going to use the backdrop of the rocks, and it creates this natural amphitheater where his voice just carries across so he can address a large group of people. And so what we have is Jesus out on this boat, and he's going to talk to this large crowd that's gathered. And so, like, what kind of speech do you expect to hear? What kind of speech would you expect to hear as everyone's gearing up to, like, hit the road, and we're going to go evangelize, and we're going to go travel around, and we're going to spread the good news, the gospel? You would expect what? Like a pep talk, right? You would expect like this, we're going to push forward and achieve the goal type of speech, right? But instead, what you get is this very simple story that's almost riddle-like about farming and seeds and soil. It's a very odd way. Just imagine that you didn't have the explanation afterwards. Just imagine that that's all you had was that parable sitting in front of you. It's a very odd way to address a group of people, some of which have given everything they own to follow Jesus. And they come to hear him, and they hear about farming. Like, this is odd. So what Jesus is doing here is he's telling this story, as it says, in a parable. And we've already seen a few parables in the book of Luke. And this one, however, is unique because Jesus is going to take the time to explain the meaning of this parable to his closest followers later on in a more intimate setting. So let's just read it. Imagine Jesus standing out on a boat, getting ready to hit the road with them, and this is what he says. Verse 5, the sower went out to sow his seed, and as he sowed, some fell beside the road, and it was trampled underfoot, and the birds of the air ate it up. Other seed fell on rocky soil, and as soon as it grew up, it withered away, because it had no moisture. Other seed fell among the thorns, and the thorns grew up with it and choked it out. Other seed fell into the good soil and grew up and produced a crop 100 times as great. As he said these things, he would call out, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. So this is not exactly what you would expect to hear before setting out on a missionary trip, right? So why does Jesus choose to speak to the crowd like this? Why does he choose to speak to them in a parable? So first, we need to know what exactly is a parable. And we've talked about it briefly, but a parable is a common, relatable story, but it has a deeper meaning associated with it. So for first century human beings living on the earth, a story about farming and about seeds and soil would have been very, very common. They would have absolutely recognized what he's talking about. They would have got it, right? And they would have easily understood these basic farming concepts, like don't throw the seed on the rock, you know, don't throw it into the thorns, you know, it's on the path, it's probably not, they're going to get this stuff. They're going to get this. But the parable is an earthly story, but it has a heavenly meaning, okay? There's more to a parable than meets the eye. It's a unique and effective teaching method that Jesus loved to do. I mean, he loved it. He told over 30 parables in the New Testament. And Luke records over 20 of them. So as we go through Luke, we're going to be running into parables. We're going to hit another one next week. So it's something that's a very integral part of how Jesus decides to communicate with people. And as I said earlier, what's unique about the Gospel of Luke is the placement of the parable alongside a larger story or a point that he's trying to make. And often, Luke gives us a parable leading up to a specific story or coming off from one, right? So that way, we can take the parable and we can look at where it is in context, not pulling it out, right? And we can see it where Jesus used it. And from that, it'll help us kind of figure out what is the truth that he's putting? What is he trying to say within this parable? What is the meaning that's not so obvious? And then you try to figure it out. Notice I said try. Because what a parable does is it requires the listener or the reader, in our case, to work it out, right? You have to work it out within yourself, and it takes effort. Because at surface value, you're going to look at it and it's going to seem simple, right? Or maybe some of them are going to seem odd. Some of them may even just be confusing as you're trying to understand what is he talking about here. But when the listener thinks about it and then the listener applies it to their life, the parable then takes on a new dimension. So we got to think about he's telling this parable, but what event surrounds it, right? So what's going on here? What's happening right here? They're doing what? Everyone's getting ready to go with Jesus, right? They're getting ready to go on this missionary trip, his second tour around the region, right? So as Jesus is out on the boat, and he's speaking to these people, and he says this very, very simple story, there are going to be these responses that are going to come back immediately. For some people, they're going to just be like, this guy's crazy. Why is he talking about farming? I mean, I thought he was going out to, like, say he was God, and now he's telling us, like, where to throw our seed? He's crazy. And so I'm out of here, right? For some people, they might just be bored with it, right? Because this is so common. It's like, I already know how to grow crops. Like, what is this, a TED talk? I'm supposed to learn something new here? But it's not. I already know this. So, you know what? Let's go find something new, something exciting. But for some are looking for the deeper meaning in this. And they really want to hear what Jesus is saying. So they give it some time, right? They value, they respect Jesus enough to know that there must be a reason for the things that he says. and the things that he does. There's something behind it. And this is the point of parables. And this is the point of this one in particular. It's all about how we hear them. It's all about how we choose to hear the parable and take it in. Because like I said, they take work. And a parable cannot be understood by simply being a spectator. Jesus wants us to become engaged in who he is, in what he's saying, and the things that he's doing. And the only way to really get it, the only way to really get a parable is to take part in it, which is our choice. Because Jesus isn't going to force you or coerce us into exchanging with him on some deeper level, into a relationship. You know, he gives his words, and his words are meant to address us. His words are meant to invite us. His words are meant to comfort us. His words are meant to challenge us, sometimes to even rebuke us, but they're never there to coerce us into something. He simply speaks. And as he speaks these parables, this parable that we're looking at today, it becomes up to the listener or the reader how we are going to engage with the story, and ultimately how we are going to see ourselves within that story. And so verse 8 ends with, as he said these things, he would call out what? He who has ears to hear, let him hear. So Jesus is asking, do you want to hear what I'm saying? Do you really want to hear it? Do you want to understand my point? Do you want to go deeper than just superficial face value? And as we're going to see, that this is encouraging to me, that nobody here got it at first. Like, they did not get it. And there's many times that the apostles don't get it. Some of them don't even get it after Jesus has gone. They're still chewing on it, right? But the way that Jesus speaks within these parables, it's this way that he just reaches to the core of his true audience. Because he knows us, right? And he knows that I'm a terrible listener and that I'd much rather hear myself talk then hear someone else talk. So what does he do? He comes along with a story. And stories do what? If you ever tell a story to a kid and you start with once upon a time, instantly they're glued to you. Like, what's gonna happen next, right? And so he tells a story, and then the story is relatable. So it's something that we relate with. We understand it. And so that becomes this common ground that connects us to him. I mean, it's important to understand that. That common ground is just a vital part of connecting with somebody. Because it's at that point then we become invested in what they're saying. And now it takes on more importance, and now we want to investigate, okay, what is this story really about? Because it seems as though there's something else going on here. I just don't know what it is. Am I the sower? Am I the seed? Am I the soil? Am I the thorn? Am I the rock? You know, and it's meant to engage us and to get our minds going. And it's not easy. It takes work. Like, I still have trouble with this, but especially when I was first saved, I would read these stories. And I would read Jesus' words, and I would have a difficult time with them because they're hard to understand sometimes. Specifically, when I was reading a parable, it would just become so frustrating because it's like, just tell me what you're trying to tell me. Just spell it out for me. Because I didn't want to do the work that required to dig into it to find out what it's saying. But what I came to realize is that it's much like what D.L. Moody said when he said that salvation is a gold mine. It must be dug up. And it takes effort. And so it's not so much as who hears it, but it's how they hear it. So think about the story in Luke today. All these people on shore, right? Listening to Jesus speak. How are they hearing him? Because that's the key to them moving forward in this trip with Jesus. That's the key to their relationship going deeper with Jesus. That's the key to them being part of this evangelistic mission and really being on fire. Because it has the potential to change their lives like they would never believe. So they got to be all in. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. He didn't say it so that people would listen to listen. He's saying it for those who want to listen. He's not calling to them saying, hey, listen up. He's saying it so that those who really want to would focus in. Because we are the possessors of free will. And we have the freedom to engage or not engage as we want. Verse 9. His disciples began questioning him as to what this parable meant. So here it is, right? These guys want to understand. The people asking him want to get this. They're questioning him. It's like they are interrogating him. They're just bugging him. Tell us. We need to know. We want to know. They have a thirst. They have a hunger for the things of Jesus. And they want to dig out the truth. They want to find it, right? And this is what God wants from us as well. That's why he does this. That's why he draws us out so that we can come closer to him. Because Jesus just loves to engage with people. And as Tozer said, the will of God is that we would push into his presence and then live our whole life there. Verse 10, and he said, to you it has been granted to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to the rest it's in parables, so that seeing they may not see and hearing they may not understand. So Jesus is clearly speaking to his disciples now. This is a more intimate setting. This isn't the large crowd. This is whittled down to those who have only came in closer to learn more. And his disciples are asking to understand these things. These are people who are followers of Jesus. They've accepted him as Lord and Savior. And he's saying, because it's you who've asked, I'm going to tell you guys. I'm going to let you know what I'm talking about here, because it's important that you get this. See, the deeper that they mine for gold, the deeper that they go, the more understanding God's going to grant them, right? God never withholds himself from those who are honestly seeking him. And Jesus says, but to the rest it's in parables, so that seeing they may not see and hearing they may not understand. It's a cryptic phrase when you read it. You're left wondering, what does this mean? Why is he using this? And what it sounds like is that God is just hiding things from people, or that he's making it impossible for people to understand his teachings. Or as some have suggested, that he's actually keeping salvation from people. And while, yes, there are mysteries that we may never know, that's not what Jesus is saying here. He is not blocking people from coming to him or coming to know him, because that would contradict his very nature. He's saying that it's their choice. So why, what is up with that cryptic little saying there? Why has he used that? If you look in your Bibles down at the end of verse 10, maybe you have something that gives you a clue, right? Does anybody have a little footnote there that tells you Isaiah 6:8? This is where Jesus is getting that saying from, okay? He's pulling this from the book of Isaiah. Jesus loves to quote Isaiah. He's been doing it all through Luke. We've seen Luke bringing up Isaiah time and time again. And again, Jesus quotes Isaiah. And if you read Isaiah 6, and you read it within the context, you find that it's all about the significance of salvation. And it's about the call and the commission of Isaiah to tell people about God. It's also about Isaiah learning that he's not to expect that everyone's going to react in the same way. So in Isaiah 6, you have this vision that Isaiah is given. And he's given this vision just after the king of Judah, King Uzziah, has died. Okay, so now you have in Judah an empty throne with no king in it. And the throne is left open. And the Lord gives Isaiah this vision. And in the vision, Isaiah sees the Lord God sitting on the throne. And he is sitting on the throne with more authority, with more power, with more greatness than any king to ever be on the throne. Okay? And then he sees these creatures, the seraphim, and they're crying out, "Holy, holy, holy." The whole earth is filled with his glory. And Isaiah is just overcome by this experience, by being in the presence of the one true king. And he falls down and he says, "Woe is me, I'm undone." Because he sees his sinfulness when he's in the presence of the one true king, when he's in the presence of Yahweh. He recognizes his need to have his sins removed in that moment. And so then, in this vision, one of the seraphim goes and it grabs a burning coal. And it comes over and it touches Isaiah's lips with the burning coal, purifying him with the fire, signifying that he's set free from his sins. And once he's experienced the freedom from his sins, the Lord then asks him, says, "Whom shall I send? And whom shall go for us?" Which is a text about the Trinity, us. But he asks this, and then Isaiah responds, "Here I am, send me." So there's this great missionary call, right? From God, this divine commission for Isaiah to be a witness to the one true king and to tell the people about him. And then there's the response from Isaiah accepting the call. Sounds like our story in Luke, doesn't it? As these people are setting out with Jesus. And they first have to recognize their sins and accept Jesus as Savior. And Jesus is the one true king who can take the sins away. But then there's that saying, right? So after Isaiah says, "Here I am, send me," God tells Isaiah to go. But then he warns him, people will listen and they will not perceive. They will keep looking, but they will not understand. That's the phrase that Jesus uses. So you see, it's not God making it so that they can't understand what's going on. But it's that the people don't really want to hear what he is saying. And in our story in Luke, Jesus is telling his disciples this same reality. And that is that many may not care to hear about him. They may not care to go deeper, to really get in and have the good soil. How he's the one true king. They can take away the sins of the world. They may not care about that, but that doesn't matter because their call is to follow Jesus. As they're getting ready to embark on this trip, it doesn't matter how it's received by other people. It doesn't matter what other people think or how they respond, because it's all about them being faithful to what God has called them to do. Because there will be some who are going to hear. There will be some who will care, and some will give their lives to Jesus. And some like Isaiah, like the 12 apostles, like the three women that we looked at last week, like the many other disciples of Jesus, will find themselves in the very presence of the one true King. And they'll recognize their need to be cleansed, to be saved, to have their sins removed. And they will give all that they have to follow him as Jesus asks each person individually, each one of us individually, who will go for me? And those who want to go deeper, those who want to dig out more of the gold, who want to follow his will fully, will say, here I am, send me. And that's why we're here. Because it's not just about receiving on a superficial level what God has for us, but it's about taking everything that we have and giving it back to him, to the one true King, to King Jesus. It's all about reaching a lost world, and Jesus is launching this rescue plan, and he wants his true followers to do the same thing that he's doing. So now Jesus is going to explain the parable. Verse 11. Now the parable is this. The seed is the word of God. So that clarifies that. Now I know I'm not the seed, right? The seed is the word of God. So seeds, like the word of God, are living. They are living things. And seeds have this amazing ability, under the right conditions, to change an entire landscape. If you've ever seen fields of lavender or fields of tulips planted, it's amazing. It's a beautiful scene, all from a seed, all starting from a seed, or a bulb if you want to be technical. But seeds, as they propagate, they can actually, over time, alter the conditions of environments. As we've seen in Israel, it's a testament to that. It was a barren desert, and now it's a lush, lush, fertile place. Because over time, as seeds propagated and changed, and people planted and cared for them, the environment has been changed. And as they go, as they multiply, it'll happen where temperature changes, rainfall changes, snowfall changes. The vitality of living things that are there as animals come in and people come in changes. Seeds have huge potential in little tiny packages, and so do our words. So do the seeds that we plant. The other thing about seeds is, in their natural state, when we're not messing with them, they're always the same, right? They're always the same, and they always propagate, right? They grow. And it's only the environment or the condition that they're placed in that gives us different results, okay? And that's the point of this, is the seed is always the same, but it's the environment that changes. So as we look at this parable and we look at the different soils, I want you to remember something. First of all, look at where the seed is spread, because this is important. It's not just placed within the fences of the garden, right? It's not just placed in the prepared rows in the field, but the seed is spread indiscriminately. It just goes out everywhere, everywhere. And so there are unique places that we find ourselves in, places that I go that you guys aren't going, places that Jordan goes that I'm not going, places that Randy goes that I'm not going, and so we have this ability to sow seeds indiscriminately everywhere, right? It must go out to everyone, because the reality is that if we don't do that, it's an injustice, because we can't see someone else's heart. We don't know the environment that the seed is landing in. It's not up to us to know the environment of the seed. It's up to us to sow it indiscriminately. So it has to go everywhere. So what are the soils? Verse 12. those beside the road or those who have heard. Then the devil comes and takes away the word from their heart so that they will not believe and be saved. So here's a reality. The devil is real, and he's trying to prevent the word from getting to us. And maybe he's doing it right now. If you think that he doesn't try to do it on Sunday mornings, just try to get your family ready for church. Right? Right? He has an agenda to make sure that the seed does not grow. So it's like the birds that come and take it away, or it's like the wanderer trampling it down, right? The devil wants to stomp it out. And he does this by lying to us, by inserting error, by telling us that we're no good, by raising doubts in our minds, by creating an environment where the words of Jesus are taken away. Have you been to public school lately? This is why it's so important that we stay in God's word, that we stay in the teachings of Jesus. As John 6:63 said, "The words I have spoken, they are spirit and they are life." They're alive. The word of God is alive. Verse 13, "Those on the rocky soil are those who, when they hear, receive the word with joy. And these have no firm root. They believe for a while, and in time of temptation, they fall away." So rocks, oh man, I live up on a hill, and the rocks are just terrible. You shovel out to plant something, and by the time you pick the rocks out and put the soil in, you don't have enough soil to backfill the hole because there's so many rocks. But rocks are those things that just block the roots from going, as they hit that rock and then they go out instead of down. But rocks are also these things that we trip over too, aren't they? They're an obstacle, as they block us. And they are our weaknesses. They are our desires. The things that take our attention away from Jesus, and then and our attention is then placed on ourselves, or maybe the pleasures of this world, the things that we enjoy. And if we're partly in this world all the time, then we're never going to have a firm root, because there's a rock that we're hitting. And then our roots are just going out like the pine trees, as they just are close to the surface with no tap root. And in a large windstorm, they have the potential to blow right over. Verse 14, "The seed which fell among the thorns, these are the ones who've heard. And as they go on their way, they're choked with worries and riches and pleasures of this life and bring no fruit to maturity." This is what we surround ourselves with daily. Like, we live in a society that is so invading of our minds, so busy keeping us running around, that our worries and our work or the things that we use to escape just end up slowing us down. These things bog us down so that now we're not thriving, that we don't want to do the work that it's going to take to mine out that gold that's in here, right? But instead, we're just going along and we're conditioned and we're kind of just spoon-fed what to think, and we're told what's going to bring happiness, and we're told what's going to bring contentment. See, the thorns, they choke out the light. They choke us out from seeing Jesus. In verse 15. Hey, you guys doing all right? All right. "But the seed and the good soil, these are the ones who've heard the word in an honest and good heart and hold it fast and bear fruit with perseverance." The ones who hear Jesus, the ones who hear him and they're willing to set out with him, regardless of the outcome, regardless of what others think, the good soil takes work. If you've had a garden, if you've done any farming, it's a lifelong process. It's not just like you turn the soil the first year and then it's good from now on. Because it has to keep going. It's a process. That's why Jesus says here, bear fruit with perseverance. That right there suggests it is not easy. It's not easy. But there's something about a parable, there's something about the way that Jesus gives these stories that's very much like an open door. And as you walk past the door, you hear something. And you make a choice. And the choice is that you can either walk in to that door and you can hear more, or you can walk by it and take just what you've heard at that value. And when we choose to walk in, and when we choose to hear what he's saying in this story, when we hear about these soils, when we see how Jesus sows this seed to everyone, there is a reality to be found in this. And that is that the soils are not what define us, okay? This is not a fatalistic view of how to classify people indefinitely. The reality is that I bet as we're going through the different soils, you probably saw parts of yourself in each of those soils. And if you didn't, then you are a super Christian and you just need to read a little bit more, because you'll get turned around pretty quick, right? That's Jesus' intention here, that we walk through the door, that we learn a little more, and in this parable, we benefit by seeing ourselves in each of these soils. Because you can't blame the seed. The seed is the same, right? Only the environment changes. And so as Jesus draws us in, we can ask ourselves, how can I prepare my heart to receive God's word? Did I just do that with a southern accent? My heart. To receive God's word. To really hear him. What's my part to make sure that the seed, as I pick up this book, as I read what Jesus has to say, what's my part in making sure that these words fall onto a heart that wants to hear more? Because that's the whole point here, is that we recognize that, and then we recognize that as we come in closer to Jesus, we can then move forward with him. And as we move forward with him, we take on this call that he calls each of us to do, which is to sow that same seed. And as we sow that same seed, we recognize that it's falling on all these different grounds that we can relate to, that we have seen in our own lives. And now we have some tools to help someone else, because we can identify with each other. It's the common ground that connects us. And we can enter into people's lives just like Jesus does. So now the question becomes, how can I prevent the word of God from being taken away from that person? How can I make sure that they're not blocked by these rocks, by these stumbling blocks? How can I help them avoid that? How can I pull the thorns out so that the light can shine through and that they can grow? The story, these parables are meant to get into us, to grab hold of us, to change us, to push us into the presence of God. It's not about listening to Jesus just superficially, but hearing him deeply. That's why he spoke to us in parables, because he knows the power that they have to communicate, and more so because he wants us to dig in deeper, to search, to mine out that gold, to grab hold of who he is, and then to say, just like Isaiah said, here I am, send me. Amen? Amen. Our Lord, our King, oh Jesus, make us a people that you desire. Shape us, mold us. I pray that you breathe a vitality into us that we've never experienced before. Draw your people close to you, Lord. Bring us in. Give us boldness. Give us a drive. Give us the love to go out and to tell the world about you. Lord, we believe. Help our unbelief. May your Holy Spirit push us to new limits this week, new boundaries. We thank you. We praise your holy name this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.